It's important for us to just reflect on this important subject, the joy of the Lord. And if you have your Bibles with you, we could turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 and in verse 10. I hope when you come every Sunday, you bring your Bibles. We also have it up on the screen. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. All right. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. This is what it says. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you know that we need strength? We need strength. Some of you have even come in this morning and you feel discouraged. You need strength. We need strength against the cunning attacks of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, Ephesians 6:10 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the cunning schemes or the strategies of the devil. So we need to be strong so that we can stand against the cunning schemes of the devil. Do you know the devil is a cunning schemer? Okay, he's not just, you know, in a poster, red with a pitchfork, with horns. You know, he's a cunning person. And we need strength in order to stand against him. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. This is what it says. We also need strength. It says this, maybe verse 7. If we can go back to 7. Verse 7, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. Do you know you need to be strong to be obedient? Do you know you need to be strong so that you can obey God? Because many times, in order for you to obey God, the enemy, people attack you so that you can compromise your obedience. So you need to be strong. And so that's why it says, be strong and courageous that you may observe to do all the law. Then jump down further, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You may observe to do according to all that is written, for you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Notice it's not just success, it is good success. Do you know you can have success, but it's better to have good success? Do you know you can be promoted, but that promotion can be short-lasting? But you can have good success with long-term promotion. You can have success where many people are blessed through your life, through your ministry. That's good success. And the Bible tells us to be strong and courageous. If you want to have good success, you need to be strong and courageous, to be obedient to God, so that your success is long and it is lasting. That's good success. We need strength when we are weak. Jesus says in Corinthians verse 12, chapter 12, it says, Jesus said, Paul said, when we are weak, then he is strong. Amen? We need strength. Because the enemy, he won't just, you know, just attack you once and leave you. He will constantly try to discourage you, constantly attack your thinking and your thoughts. And this is why we need to be strong. But where does our strength come from? It comes from the joy of the Lord. If you have joy, you will have strength. If you have joy, you will be strong. In James 1, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. Why do you need joy? Because you need strength to go through various trials. You need joy to go through the tough things in life. Your marriage can also be tough. Your marriage can also be very tough. How many of you know that marriages are not always easy? Amen? I mean, if you're honest, let me tell you, many times you'll be discouraged. In your home, in your, you know, I mean, I don't have to say much, but you will be misunderstood. You will misunderstand. You'll go through these times of great stress in your home. Sometimes thoughts of separation, divorce, other things will go through your mind. What do you do then? Where does those thoughts come from? Does it come from the Lord? Of course not. You know, thoughts of, you know, dissatisfaction with your spouse. You're not happy about something. You know, and you know, you want to lash out at them. You want to say something nasty. Where does those thoughts come from? This is why we need strength. And strength that comes from joy. When you have joy, you will have strength so that we can cut off those thoughts. We can stand against those thoughts. Do you know you need strength at work? It's not easy many times at work. You know, when you're working under somebody who sort of misunderstands you, or they put extra work on your shoulders, you know, and they treat you like a tool for their own good, for their own benefit. And they push you, and they don't pay you enough. And they cut your hours. I mean, your payment, your wages, but they increase your working hours. It's not easy. Sometimes it's easier to just gossip and complain about our bosses because they're so unhelpful, because they're so nasty at times. Sometimes it's better to get angry on our workmates. School pressure. It's hard to remain joyful when you're not doing well in school. When your parents come down hard on you and you think they're so unfair. When the expectation on your performance is so high, it's hard to keep your joy. Especially when you have financial hardship. You open your cupboards and it's empty. And the only thing you got to eat is something you don't look forward to eating. But you got no other choice because you don't have enough finance. It's hard to have joy, isn't it? It's hard to have joy when things are going really nasty. But do you realize something? God has given you joy. God has given every one of us joy. In fact, in Galatians 5, verse 22, the Bible actually tells us that God has given us the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life and He deposited joy into your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All these things were deposited into your hearts for you to be able to live a very powerful life. Become a person who is an overcomer all through this life into the next. You see, the joy that God gives you is not a temporal joy. It's not temporary. He gives it to you and it lasts forever. Right now, all of you have joy. Let me see a smile. You may not feel like smiling. You may not feel joyful. Because at home, the same problems are waiting for you. Because at work, the same problems are waiting for you. You may not feel like smiling, but joy is in you. It's an eternal thing. It's a deposit. The Holy Spirit has been put inside you. You have love. You have the ability to love people. Even though you don't feel like loving people, love is in you. You have the ability to believe God, even though sometimes you feel all these doubts in your mind. You have the ability to believe God. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is eternal and it's inside you right now. Amen. It's not there for decoration. It's not there to be put on a Christmas tree kind of thing. They are powerful and they are always with you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That means it's inside you and you have continual ability to have strength. Amen. In fact, the Bible says even God laughs. Psalms 2 verse 4, it says, He sits in the heavens and He laughs. Hebrews 12, the Bible says, Who for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. You know, God is a God of joy. Amen. Sometimes we have this picture, God is a God of frowning. You know, He sits in heaven and He frowns at us and He's angry. You know, and He's going to pound us into the dust every time we make a mistake. Boo! God is sitting in the heaven and He's a God of joy. He's a God of judgment, yes, but He's a God of love. He's a God of justice. He's a God of faithfulness. But don't forget, God sits in heaven and He can laugh as well. It doesn't depend on my feelings, although I can have feelings of joy, of laughter. It's not even an emotion. It's actually a spiritual force inside of us. Sometimes you might feel like crying. You might feel like mourning and loss. But deep down inside, we can still feel this joy. That is why in a Christian funeral, you can see people, especially those who know the Lord, you know, I mean, you know, you might be wondering, why aren't they screaming like people in the world when they go to their funeral? You'll hear people in the world screaming. But when you go to a Christian funeral, you'll see them, they might cry, but they know the joy of the Lord, the joy of the salvation, the person is in heaven. Amen? So even though there's some tears on the outside, inside is the joy of the Lord working. Praise the Lord. I remember recently, about 3 weeks ago, or about 1.5 months ago, I believe, 1.5 months ago, I went out somewhere visiting, and when I came home, Bui called me. She said, Conan, did you hear something? I said, what? She said, did you know that Pastor Michaeli Ratu died? I said, what? Because this pastor is a close friend of ours. And she looked at my face because she expected me to start crying and start wailing or something. She said, Pastor Michaeli died. I said, how do you know? She said, well, I was hanging out the clothes outside on the line when Pastor Rosina from Tavua called me and said that she was at the national conference and all the pastors were there and the senior pastor stood up and he announced that Pastor Michaeli passed away. And Bui said, when I heard that, I began to cry. And Zara came, she said, Mommy, why are you crying? I said, oh, a very close friend has passed away. And Bui was waiting for me to cry. I was sad, yes, I was sad for Michaeli Isa. But in my spirit, I could not find I just didn't cry. And then I went back, I did something, and we were kind of sad, but in my heart I found, you know, I couldn't find, you know, the grief. A couple of days later we found out, Rosina called again, or somebody called, I think it was Rosina who called, and she said, Bui, I'm very sorry, it might have been a mistake. Bui has already mourned and cried at the clothesline. She can growl at me at home. But you know, she already mourned and she cried. She had a funeral service at the clothesline. And Rosina calls it and said, it might have been a mistake. Because we found out later that when Pastor Michaeli from another church died, praise the Lord. So, you know, even while we are grieving, even while we go through tough times, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. You will find the strength that comes from deep inside you when you have joy. But I want to encourage you something. Remember the time when you came to Jesus. When you gave your life to Jesus, didn't you love everybody? How many of you went through that experience, through those feelings, where when you gave your life to Jesus, you feel like hugging everybody? Anybody had that experience apart from me? You know how you loved people, even people who are not nice to you, you still love them, amen? You wanted to shake people's hand, and you saw the grass was greener, you saw the skies were bluer. Yeah, I don't know any word, blue or not, but you saw the sky was bluer, and you saw people when they smiled, it shone, you know. You know, when you looked at your husband, he looked so handsome. Look at your wife, she looked so beautiful. You know why? Because it was fresh, amen? It was really fresh. But now, after how many years, when you look at the grass, it looks brown. When you look at the sky, it looks cloudy. When you look at your husband, he looks old. When you look at your wife, man, she's struggling. So we struggle with our joy. And I want to tell you something, and I hope it helps all of us. We need to be careful what we hear and what we see. Because joy has been deposited into our spirit. When the time you gave your life to Jesus, man, we loved people. We were so happy. We were so good and everything. But after a number of years, because of what we saw, because of what we heard, the joy began to slowly, slowly quieten down in our hearts. It's still in there, but it's overloaded with something else. I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. This is what it says. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from where? From your eyes. These two things. Your ear gates and your eye gates. It says, my son, it says there, incline your ear to my sayings, the word of God. Let your ear be tuned in to the word of God. Let your eyes, let not the word depart from your eyes. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. You know why? Whatever you see, whatever you hear, will end up in your heart. And if you are listening to the word, if you are hearing the word of God over and over and over again, then joy will be built up inside you, inside your heart. But, you know, there are times during the day, at 6 o'clock, I will listen to the news. But when I was a young Christian, I made a commitment to be careful what went into my ears and what went into my eyes. You know, a person can watch the news at 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I can tell you something, by the end of the evening, you will hardly have joy left inside you. Joy is still there, but it's been pushed down by the negative. Amen. If you're just tuning into news, 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 stories, 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 without the word of God, then those things will steal your joy. But how many of you know that the word of God is, the gospel is good news? Hello, everyone. The gospel is good news. It is positive. So when you get into the word of God, that positive news, the good news, will fill your heart with joy. I'm not saying the news is bad to watch, because I watch the news. But I'm very careful how often I watch the news. I'm very careful what goes into my ears and what goes into my eyes. It's even come into our house. Come into my house. When we were small, when Junior was small, we never allowed ourselves as a family to watch certain programs. And Shortland Street was one of them. From the time Junior was small, we used to tell him, no Shortland Street in this house. No Shortland Street. You know why? Because they used to jump from bed to bed. This marriage, that marriage, sex before marriage, all these things. So we made it clear in our house. In our house, no Shortland Street. So I remember a couple of times as we went out visiting a few families. When we went into this family's house, they were watching Shortland Street. As we sat down, you know how you feel embarrassed to tell the family, turn off the radio, we want to talk, or turn off the TV. So the family keeps talking with the TV on. But I feel embarrassed to tell them, please turn the TV off so we can talk. So we just sit and Shortland Street is going on. We are talking. Junior has a young boy. He was only about, what, 3 or 4 years old. He stood up and he walked straight to the TV and he offed it. And the family looked at Junior and Junior said, no Shortland Street. I tell you, I was so proud of Junior. I was so happy. Amen. Because that's the value system we place on our own children in the house. So we teach our children from the time that they are small till the time they're big. The Bible says, when they grow up, they will not depart from it. So we teach them the word of God. Although sometimes they're a little bit cheeky. And so we just need to understand that what goes into your eyes and what goes into your ears will affect the joy that comes out of your heart. Notice what it says in verse 23. Keep your heart. That means guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it carefully. Then it says, for out of it are the issues of life. Whatever goes in will come out. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we guard our hearts, then out of it are going to come joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, blessing. Our homes will become stronger. The love of God will grow. Faith will become stronger. Why? Because we are careful about our eye gates and our ear gates. What goes in will end up in our hearts, and what goes in will one day come out. One of the things that I really enjoy is putting on gospel music in the car. And I would encourage all of you, you know, if you have a car, get gospel music, get a CD or get the USB, get it into your cars. Because when you put on that gospel music, it changes the atmosphere. In your houses, get gospel music playing, amen? Because it changes the atmosphere around you. Because gospel music is the word of God in song. Gospel music is the word of God being sung out loud. So as you listen to the gospel music, it goes into your heart, the word of God. And it's very pleasant because it's song. And so I encourage everybody, wherever you're driving, put on gospel music because it'll change the atmosphere around you and fill your heart with joy. Amen. Amen, everyone. Are you still with me? Amen. One of the things that we must understand is that from the beginning when you gave your life to Christ, Christ gave you a deposit of faith, love, joy, peace. But it's up to us to grow it and to develop it. I want to be a person with ever-growing faith. I want to be a person with ever-growing love. You know, I want to grow in love. I want to grow in the, you know, in the joy of the Lord. And so how do we develop our faith? Let's look at, first of all, let's go to Romans 12:3. I want you to see that when you gave your life to Christ, God gave you the measure, a deposit of faith. Okay? But it's up to us to develop it. In Romans 12:3 it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Actually, the word is not the measure of faith. I believe in the Greek it's a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. He's given you a certain measure of faith. In the same way, he's given you a measure of joy, a measure of peace, a measure of love. And so, how do we develop it from that measure? From that first beginning, when you give your life to Christ, how do we develop it? So how do you develop faith? Romans 10:17, everybody should know this by now. Romans 10:17, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, how do you grow your faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think it was Brother Moses who said, keep faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing until hearing becomes an earring. Isn't that wonderful? To keep hearing the word of God until it becomes part of your ear. That's how faith grows. You go to the word of God, you spend time in the word of God, faith begins to grow. In the same way, let's look at John chapter 15 verse 11 about joy. John 15, 11. It says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How does his joy remain, and how does the joy become full? By the words of Jesus. He says, these words I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, your joy might become full, it may grow. You know why? Because the word of God, when it comes into your ears, it will bring joy into your heart and it will become full. If you want to grow in joy so that your strength becomes stronger, you must spend time in the word of God. Do you get me this morning? Just as you grow your faith, you should grow your joy. If you grow your joy, your strength begins to grow. And you become stronger against the works of the enemy. Amen. Amen, everyone? Are you with me? You see, I want to develop my joy. I want to have joy when I'm going through tough times. I want to be able to have this joy in my spirit that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Because Proverbs 24:10, let's look at Proverbs 24:10. It actually says, if you faint in the day of adversity or trial, your strength is small. Do you get it? If you faint, Proverbs 24 verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. In other words, this is another way it's actually saying. If your strength is small, then you will give up in the day of adversity. If your strength is small, you will give up, you will quit in the time of trial. If your strength is small, you'll give up in your home, your marriage. If your strength is small, you'll give up at work. If your strength is small, you'll give up in every issue of life. This is why we need to build strength. When you build strength, when the days of adversity comes, you will not quit and you'll not give up. But God will show you a way to overcome. You will overcome in some way. You will overcome in some way. So what do? I know we can get a shortcut. We can ask pastor, please leaders, pray for me. I'm discouraged. And yes, all of us go through discouragement and we need the prayers of the saints. Amen? You and I need each other's prayers to pray for one another when we go through discouragement. But let me tell you something. You and I need to take the time to spend in the Word of God so that strength, joy begins to grow in your life. You and I need to take the time in the Word of God every day so that joy begins to grow. When your joy grows, your strength will grow. In the time of adversity and trial, you will not quit and you will not give up because your strength is big. Amen. So I want to encourage all of us. God has put joy inside of you. The devil cannot take it. The devil cannot steal it. But it's a measure of joy. How have you developed it? Have you developed joy in your heart? That's the issue. If you're spending time in the Word of God, your joy will grow. When your joy grows, whatever situation you face, that's why James says in James 1 verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you go through trial. Why? Because you need joy to go through trial. But if you build joy, then trials will become easier for you and I.